We've all seen the incredible horse and rider combinations as the backbone of our sport. But what about everything else that makes the equestrian world tick? From the everyday grind to the world-class professional, join the Equestrian Podcast as we talk about every equestrian discipline in a way that hasn't been done before. Now here's your host, rider, trainer, and influencer behind My Equestrian Style, Bethany Lee.
Hey friends, and welcome back to the Equestrian Podcast. I'm your host, Bethany Lee, and this is episode 406. Our guest today is another rider who has hit the shortlist for the Paris Olympics. She had an incredible opportunity to work for John and BZ Madden right after college, which is a dream job for many, and few are provided the opportunity. She learned so much, really made her way through the rankings, and put so much time and effort into making it to where she is today. So I wanted to hear a little bit from her and how she got there and what she's working on as she is gearing up for this big summer. So without further ado, please welcome our guest today, Callie Schott.
Hi, Callie.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on.
No problems. My pleasure.
I'm so excited to get to know you more and hear a little bit about your story. Tell me first how you got started in the horse world.
I got started basically because I grew up on a farm. Both my parents were into horses. My dad played polo and was an equine veterinarian. And my mom evented herself and just and taught riding lessons locally in Versailles, Kentucky, where I grew up.
Okay, amazing. Do you have any particular like early memories that stand out to you from your early days of riding?
Oh, I have lots of memories. lots of memories of Pony Club, of working in the barn every day. But I think one thing that it's funny, I had this little small pony. He wasn't super fancy or anything, but he was my first like real pony. And he was a very naughty pony. And one day I decided that it would be okay just to jump on my own without my mom. And it was just perfect timing because right as he dumped me into the jump, my mom pulled in the driveway.
Oh, no.
So I learned my lesson, never jump on my own.
Yep. Oh, that's amazing. I love it. I know you had such an incredible opportunity to work for John and BZ Madden after college. It's, you know, obviously a dream job for so many in the industry. So how did you end up working with them?
It actually, it's just one of those small world stories. I was at a dinner party at my uncle who manages Oak Tree, Lane Den's other big thoroughbred farm in Georgetown, Kentucky. We were just sitting around the campfire and one of his friends, Del Hancock, was there. And she owned Claiborne Farm and used to ride herself a while ago. And just asked me, I had just turned professional, and she asked me if I wanted to, you know, keep working at my farm or go learn from somebody else. And I said, I would love to go learn from other people so I can get more educated. And she just said, well, let me give my good friend John Madden a call.
That's so cool. I love it.
That's how I got connected with them. Yeah. And then it just went from there.
Right. Did you always plan on a career in horses? When did you know that this is what you wanted to do with your life?
I always had an inclination that I wanted to do this. It was just, I grew up in it, and it's something that I always pictured myself doing. I did in call between high school and college, I took a break from hunter jumper and competing myself and prepped yearlings at Lane's End for the summer and just kind of to see a different aspect of horse industry. And it was a really cool experience and I'm glad I did it, but it made me really realize that I wanted to go down the jumper route more.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Tell me a little bit more about the job right out of college and what kind of specific things were you doing and what would be like a few of the biggest lessons or takeaways you learned from your time with John and BZ?
So what my job really entailed, I started just flat riding and then eventually I got to jump and compete some young horses and then some sale horses. And I was lucky enough to like do it at the Grand Prix level. And I think some of the biggest things I learned from them in my time there was planning and really planning usage of the way they use their horses to compete over the year and not overuse them. And also just making a day-to-day schedule for each horse and really just mapping out the year to include breaks and aiming to peak at certain times. I never really thought about that before. And then I would say really showing up to do the best for your horses every day, no matter what's happened before. If you had a great day the day before, if you had a not so good day the day before, but just to each day kind of start over and just be there to do the best for the horses. And I think just always continuing to try to learn something every day and to show up and try to do better than you did the day before and learn from everybody.
Yeah, I love
Always to
that.
just be watching and watching top riders, watching how to do things, watching how not to do things.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm having done this for quite a bit of time now. How would you describe your approach to riding and training?
I think I take a lot of, what I learned from John and Beezy and really try to make a plan for each horse and pick broad goals and then more daily goals and go through like a plan for each week, like which days I'm going to flap the horses, which days are going to be more intense days, how many times I'm going to jump them before the next competition, and just making a unique plan for each horse.
Yeah, definitely. I know one of your biggest goals has always been to get to the top of sport, including the Olympic Games, and you've just been named to the short list, which is so
Yes.
exciting and so incredible. This obviously is such a major accomplishment. How has this announcement influenced your training and mindset?
I'm trying to just keep to go about our daily routine just as normal. I think the biggest thing we've been dealing with right now is honestly logistics and trying to do the best for the horses that are going to be going to Europe, but also not neglecting the ones that are staying here in the States. So just planning on competing, going back and forth. And it's quite a feat doing all the logistics. I've never really had to do this before.
Wow, yeah, exactly. As far as the horses going to Europe, can you tell me a little bit about that string?
So I'm going to take Garant and Fairfield.
Awesome.
And Fairfield is 14 years old this year. He's a big gray, super jumper, very careful. And we've had him a few years now, but he just recovered from an injury and is now back up to top level. I ended up second in a two-star at the end of Florida this year, so he's ready to get going again. And Grant is, I think, yeah, he's 13 this year, which I can't believe.
Wow.
He is. We've had him for. We got him 2022, I think. So we've had him just over 2 years, and we've built quite a strong partnership together. And he's an unbelievable athlete. He's super careful. He's very feisty, and he loves his job. He loves to work. I think he might be the happiest horse that there ever was. Like just watching him every day, he is just so happy all the time.
That's so cool. I love that.
I have to tell you about this newer supplement that is seemingly sweeping the world for equine and also for dog health, but it is the supplement called Be Complete from the Banana Feeds Company. One of the, I think the coolest thing to this is that it is literally made of one ingredient, and that is green bananas. It most specifically promotes gut health. That is the biggest part, but it also has so many antioxidant benefits. It improves temperament, it improves coat health and shine, and it promotes overall health, and it really does improve performance, because when a horse feels healthy, especially in its gut, it's going to perform at its highest potential. So for more information, you can see a whole list of benefits of Be Complete on their website, which is
be-complete.com.
Again, that is B-COMPLETE.com. All right, let's get back to the episode.
How have you been preparing now? I know, obviously, it's still a long road to, you know, get to the place where, you know, you'd be really preparing for something like the Olympic Games. Tell me a little bit about what you kind of do. I know you were talking before about, you know, the importance of peaking horses at the proper time. What are you doing right now? So if the opportunity presented itself for Paris, you know, to be in the mindset for prepping them now to peak later on this summer.
So right now, he's just coming off of a little bit of downtime after the Florida season.
Yeah.
We got home and we're still keeping him fit, but he hasn't been jumping so much. So we're just now starting up jumping again.
Okay.
I jumped him a few times last week, and I'll just school him a few more times this week. And then I'm going to do the 3-star in Kentucky the second week of May. So that's kind of my big prep show before going over to Europe.
Okay.
Awesome. And then they'll go over to Europe like a week and a half after that. Fairfield's going to do both weeks at Kentucky Spring, just because I don't have quite as much experience on him recently. So he's going to do 2 shows. And then hopefully Garant has a great show the first week and is set up and ready to do a 5-star. We're going to do 2 shows, 2 observation events in Europe, Nations Cups. And so hopefully we'll just do our best there. And then he'll probably just hang out in Europe until I'll do 1 more small show, a 2-star close to the games.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully we'll be ready to either be on the team or be an alternate.
Yeah. So cool. I love that. We all know being in the sport for a long time does not come without its challenges or disappointment. Do you have a funny story or a big learning lesson story that, you know, you've maybe experienced that you've been able to learn from along the way?
Yeah, I have a million, but one that's standing out right now in my mind is, I remember one time I had probably been working for John and BZ a little over a year, and I was competing a young horse, and BZ and I went back to back, and we had walked the course, and she went right before me, and my horse was acting up a little bit, and he turned around, and I didn't see the end of BZ's course, and then I went in next, and then jumped the whole course, but then didn't do the last jump. And so I really learned, you know, when you're reading a course chart, look at the finish timers and make sure you have all the jumps.
Oh, shoot. Well, you live and you learn.
So I didn't jump the last jump, and I was just so confused why, like, the clock kept going. And
yeah. Oh, gosh. That's so funny. You've had the opportunity to ride in many different places around the world. Do you have a favorite place, a favorite venue? Do you feel like you have to prepare quite a bit differently from country to country?
No, I really think even wherever you are, you just try to keep business as usual. And obviously you look at the venue, and like places like Spruce Meadows, you definitely have to prepare a little differently to go there. I think it's really important to jump and have your horses very confident with like all the natural obstacles and liver pools and water jumps, and just the material of jumps at Spruce Meadows can be very difficult.
Yeah.
Competing at Spruce is probably one of my favorite venues.
Mm. What about it makes it so special to you?
It's just they really do everything, just they make it everything feel important. Like every single class you ride for ribbons. The top 8 to 10, I think, ride for ribbons, and they do everything just top class, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's so cool. I know that something I ask every guest, I'm so curious to hear what you have to say, but everyone being a part of this industry, there's always something that some riders tend to be more passionate about. So what would you say is something that you're passionate about in the horse world that you feel other people in the industry either don't talk a lot about or don't know enough about?
I'm quite passionate. I love developing young horses. And luckily, I've had the opportunity to like even break some myself over the years and like really start from the very beginning to then develop them to their full potential. But the other thing I think that a lot of people take for granted or don't really emphasize that much on is groundwork.
How do you
And I think
incorporate groundwork into your training?
I do a lot of work in the round pen and just really like getting the horse to follow your body language. And I think it just makes your connection with the horse even that much stronger.
Definitely. Yeah. How if someone listening is interested in starting to incorporate horsemanship into their program, but they don't have a lot of experience or don't really know how to start. What advice would you give them for getting into it or, adding more to their program?
I would say reading and clinics. I mean, reading a lot. There's lots of books about groundwork that are really good. Off the top of my head, I don't
Yeah.
know the names of them right now. But also clinics. When I was young, I got to go to a Monty Roberts clinic, and I thought that was just so interesting. How he literally had a horse, an unbroken horse, saddled and ridden in probably 30 minutes.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I think that that's yeah, I mean, I think that that's such a big part of the industry and something that sometimes seems like it's a discipline in and of itself and not always something that could be incorporated into every discipline and every area of riding, but you definitely see the programs that do have a lot of groundwork and horsemanship incorporated. It really does. You can the connection, the communication, I feel like is so much
Yeah.
more clear between horse and rider.
Right. And I think it's very important that like all because when you're working with a horse, like even just a little cluck, they need to know all the time what that means. And I think a cluck or a half halt, and you see so many times like people at horse shows leading horses around that are like 5 feet out behind them and just dragging them around like like not like a top horse, but I think especially in the top level, but I really think at all levels it's a very important aspect of it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a great point. Well, Callie, thank you so much for taking the time and coming on and sharing a bit of your journey. I think it's so exciting and you have such an exciting several months that's really coming up around the bend for you. So it'll be so fun to continue to watch your journey and I wish you all the best.
Well, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to the summer.
All right, that is all I have for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please take a minute and write a review on iTunes. I would so appreciate it. It helps people like you find the podcast, and it helps me get some killer guests. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you next week.